listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio. It is Monday, April 9th, 2018. I am here in the live stream of the Fakeologist Audio Chat with Faye, who will be joining me in a minute or a second. Hello, Faye.
Hello, Up. How are you?
I'm fine. It's wonderful to hear your voice today.
Hello, same here. Yes, wonderful to hear your voice, but not so wonderful that there are so many things going on and that I had to hear your name on a show that is obviously in Canada in some very famous or something radio show. Would you like to tell us about that?
Well, have you heard past episodes of the Fakeologist show that begin with the number 161?
No.
And all the... Oh, okay. I thought you were listening to some of the old shows.
I'm listening still, but I skipped those. I skipped some of them. I don't know which criteria, just...
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you about them and make you even want to listen even more. Last year, in February, I got a tweet or a instant tweet or whatever that, God, there's so many words for them. I got a direct message on Twitter, and the Humble Show, Humble and Fred are two, I don't want to be too rude about it, but they used to be big radio personalities in Toronto. I don't want to insult them because I still like them, but they were kind of, they're actually both rude to me today. I don't appreciate the way they talk in a lot of ways, but I went on their radio show last year. And they were interested in some of my tweets. All posts from Fakeologist get tweeted automatically, by the way. They were interested in some of my tweets about EGI. And they were really excited by a tweet about Wayne Gretzky might be a woman.
Okay.
And Wayne Gretzky is Canada's most famous hockey player of the last generation or two.
Again, hockey. Something similar than that today.
You have to understand, hockey is the national Canadian sport, even though officially the national sport is lacrosse, which I have no idea how that happened. But unofficially, hockey is the most important sport in Canada, mainly because it is cold here approximately 9 months of the year, which means you can have ice inside and out, and people bring up their children to be hockey players, boys and girls, of course. No difference according to the United Nations. They're just subtle differences, but we're all the same. And both boys and girls play hockey. It's really in almost every area of Canada.
Yeah.
Maybe not as big, I'm going to say, in the West Coast where it's a little warmer more of the year. But I could be wrong. I don't know the numbers. Anyway, whenever there's a hockey story, everyone pays attention. It's almost like a national calling.
Sorry to interrupt you. I want to welcome Xylophilex in the live stream. I think that's a great moment. I have never had a chat with Xylophilex, and I'm very happy about that. Xylophilex, how are you? Can you hear me, Xylophilex? Maybe he's not connected yet. And Chris, I welcome also Chris746 in the live stream. We were chatting about the bus crash that allegedly killed 15, ice hockey, is it called, I think.
You can say both. You can say either. You can say either. It's interchangeable. Okay.
But it's there is also one hockey without ice, I think, or not?
Well...
maybe
nothing,
not in Canada.
Organized. Nothing big. It's all ice hockey, all on the ice.
Okay.
Let's say hi to Chris. Chris, can you hear us? No, it's fine. I don't mind. Can we say hi to Chris? Or is that... Hi, Chris.
How's it going?
Good. You're a new voice to the Fake Oilers audio chat. I don't think I've ever heard your voice.
Yeah, I think so, too.
What, can you just tell us a little bit about who you are and where you're from?
From Canada.
I knew that already.
But I just looked around. I don't see you. Where are you hiding in Canada?
Toronto.
Toronto? Oh, wild. Where in Toronto? Can you narrow it down a bit?
East Toronto.
Scarborough?
Yeah, around there.
Uh-oh, we might have to meet. I'm from that area, too. East Toronto.
Oh, that's good.
That's
so you can analyze. Yeah, you can. Actually, you could go and visit this corner without a railroad, where a railroad sign lies in the middle of the snow next to the accident area. Chris discovered that.
Well, actually, Faye, I want to give people perspective because people don't know Canada because we're not interesting. How far do you think the crash site is from where I am? I just want to give me your best guess without looking it up.
You're asking me, yes, because Chris knows it, obviously.
Well, Chris knows. I just want to hear it from a European.
Well, I think it must be at least 3 times as much as I imagine, because I went once to China and thought, oh, that's easy. We go without a taxi, and everyone was really laughing. It's maybe 1,000 kilometers.
Yeah, you're right. Triple that.
Triple that. That was the triple already for me. 3,000.
It's probably a 4-hour plane ride.
No. Wow.
Yeah. So to the idea, Saskatchewan may as well. Oops. Hold on.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
I would say that Florida, the bottom of Florida, is closer to where I am than this place in Saskatchewan.
Okay.
So Canada is extremely spread out east-west. Would you agree, Chris?
Yeah, I'll be back in 15 minutes.
Okay.
All right, Chris is leaving. And Zylphilex is not in here anymore either. We would love to hear from him again.
Yes, me too, but I think he had some audio troubles. That's why he left. He couldn't hear us, and we couldn't hear him. Well, Chris, you know, was in the Discord text channel, and we were together searching for stuff with a photography that was published about this accident today, but now we are jumping. You were telling about Humble and Fred, I think is the name of...
Yeah, so I went on a show a year ago because they got excited about the EGI, about Wayne Gretzky being a woman. And they just wanted to have me on the show so they could make fun of me. And I'm okay with that. It's a very bizarre statement, and I don't believe Wayne Gretzky's a woman. But I don't throw out the whole idea of EGI just because of one maybe poor example. There is something odd-looking about him. I think most people would agree there, but I don't think he's a woman. However, that is what got me on the show, and sometimes it's the bizarre statements that get people to pay attention. So I don't mind doing that. So they got me on this show, and they really wanted to just talk about that bizarre idea. But I tried to crowbar other ideas into the show, and it turns out I was probably on the show longer during the 2-hour period that the show is on than any other guest. And it's not because I wouldn't leave. It's just because I'm pretty sure they found the whole thing bizarre and interesting. And, well, yeah, everything is entertainment. So it was very unusual. Now, I had Humble on my show even earlier in the past because he was talking about 9/11. And I said, hey, why don't we chat about 9/11? Because he's fascinated with that. Now, he's not a real researcher. He's just somebody who likes looking into the odd conspiracy. But he really had no information on 9/11 other than some of the basic facts. He just thinks it's an inside job, and that's all he wants to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But as for, he's not a serious researcher. He's just sort of a 9/11 fan. So really, nothing I have to say is that interesting to him. Everything is a joke to him. And of course, he said he's running a comedy show, so he can't be too serious. I understand that, but we really didn't get anywhere, and he's really not interested in getting anywhere. But it was kind of a fun experience for me, because that show is broadcast live on what's called Sirius Simulated Satellite Radio, which is a North America-wide simulated satellite network that was created about 20 years ago to circumvent all national rules about what you can say and not say on the radio.
Okay.
But they used the idea that it was satellite to make it supersede all national or local rules for what you can say or do on a radio station. So they got a lot of cussing, a lot of swearing. We all know there is no satellite radio, but they do use some kind of technology where they bounce a signal off the ionosphere, and they create a very weak signal all around North America using a repeater network. And in the city, they actually... Pardon?
Oh, it would be enough to go 12 miles out in the sea, you know, so that you do not belong to the national waters, as it's called something.
Oh,
maybe
I see what you
do
mean.
It like that. Yeah.
Well, they have some kind of system that broadcasts the signal to areas where there's no cell towers. Whatever technology does that, and it's not satellite because there's no way that a satellite could send a signal 20,000 miles from way up there. So it's some kind of ground-based reflection system that has it's a weak signal, and it does work mostly in areas where there is no cell service. Now, of course, there's very few places that people go without cell service anywhere in North America now. Anyway, there are some patches left where there are no cell towers, but they're very, very few, and I haven't gone into the middle of nowhere to see if the simulated satellite radio works, and probably no one else will go there either.
And that was
anyway,
the last time that you were there?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a year and a half. That was February 2017. I remember it was a super cold day, and I was there. It was a good time. I enjoyed myself, and he said, oh, why don't you come back tomorrow and talk some more? And, of course, he didn't really mean that, and I just let it go. But I listened to the show because it has local content that's somewhat interesting. I'm not going to say it's amazing. It's not Fakeology in any way. It's just local radio. I like radio.
We know
with some
that.
Local content. With some local content. There's some local content, which I listen to.
Okay.
And anyway, after... Now, here's the rest of it. After that show, he must have mentioned my name or website 14 times throughout the year.
Ah.
He referenced Fakeologist. I'm sort of his go-to conspiracy guy because he likes that kind of research. So I created about 14 clips that I made sub-episodes of 161. So you'll see 161A, 161B, 161C, etc. down to, I believe, N is in November. And I'm going to make one out of this one, of course, today. And really, it's just quite bizarre that for someone who thinks... Hold on a second.
We are going to wait for some seconds till Fakeologist can reconnect. He's now
for
driving
someone,
3,000 miles to go to the Sechnochik Chakchan, or how is it named?
Huh.
Is that an Inuit name?
You talking to me?
No, doesn't matter. I'll come back to that later.
Were you talking to Chris?
No, I was talking to you. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to have to go for a few minutes because I have to talk to someone. Let's just take a break. I'll come back in a minute.
Okay.
I'm back, Faye. Hello.
Yes, hi, Ab, you're back. I'm just now writing with Xyle Felix, who does not know how to do the settings so that he can speak in the live stream.
Why don't we go in the lobby and we can hack around with him over there?
Yes, that's an idea, yeah. All right.
Tell him to meet us in the lobby and we'll try and hash it out there. I'll go over there and meet him.
Yeah, I'll come just now.
Yeah. Hi, Faye.
Hi, App. We are back in the live stream. You were talking about Humble and Fred.
Yes, I was. And I just mentioned to you that it looks, I told Humble if he wants to talk, he wanted me to call him on the private phone, which I don't usually do. But I can do it, but I told him to join here, and it looks like he was able to sign up. If that Howard is the Howard that was making fun of us earlier, and it looks like he did make it onto the Discord. Now, I'll need you to keep an eye and see if he shows up, because I can't watch.
Yes,
you keep an eye and see if he's... See what happens, and he can come on over to the live stream.
Yes, I'm just going also to see if he shows up in the...
And just so everyone knows, Faye is a moderator here at Ficologist.com, and it's not really an awesome responsibility, but it allows Faye to bring anyone into the audio chat live stream that she deems
if the people are patient with me...
And, of course, well, you're a very fast learner. We've already discovered that. So if you're able to, you can also, I think you can also delete messages in all the chat, on all the text chats that are inappropriate for the server. So that's another thing you could do. You don't, it's not a job requirement, but if you see something, you can do something about it if you want. You still there?
Sorry, App, but I had to take that phone call from Xail, who was on video stream, so I could not speak to him, but I could see him. He looks great.
Oh,
he looks
wow.
Really interesting, yeah.
Does he look like someone? Oh, huh? Wow. I don't, you know what, I have seen not, I've only seen maybe two people, one in person, and well, we've all seen Rolo, but I've really seen nobody,
yes.
and Delcroix.
Yes, Rolo Delcroix, Simon Shack, Hoi Polloi.
Yeah.
You haven't seen them?
Yeah, I saw Hoi Polloi in person. He's a real person.
Yes. Yes, I know that. Yes.
He's a real person. Real great. He's a great person, by the way.
Did you hear the new Blues Chronicle that they did about the Tychos?
No, I didn't even know they did it. I just
they
saw
did
that
it yesterday.
Out. Yeah, I put that in my dormant area because the podcast went quiet for months. I wasn't checking on it.
Yes.
And as you know, we have Feedly for our... Yeah.
Yes. Sorry, I have to join the call again. With
go. Fix them up.
I'm here again. I tried now to speak with Xail privately, but he could hear me, obviously, but I could not hear him. He's going to the lobby, hopefully, so that we catch him there.
Okay.
And
can we go to the lobby and try and help him?
No, when I see him, I can pack him and bring him in.
Okay.
And there's Howard.
That sounds good.
That sounds good. And now we have Gaia also. Gaia,
hello,
also.
Gaia.
I'm just listening for now. Hi, Gaia.
Hi.
Gaia's busy. Gaia's busy working hard.
He's in a hot area, you know. And they get very, very fast, very tired in that area.
Anyway, let's get back to the...
Yes, please.
...the Fakeologist Humble and Fred experience. And I sure would... I think Humble is somewhat technical. He runs the technicalities on his own show. So I'm pretty sure he can figure out how to get in here if he wants to. And then he can further make fun of Fakeologist and all his favorite... I would call Howard an agitator in the sense he's always highlighting divisions between people and mocking them. And I don't mind that, but after a while it gets really boring. For instance, he plays up the idea that he's Jewish, and he said he can make Jewish jokes.
Okay.
And,
because he's Jewish. Okay.
Right. Now, it's funny for a while, but I think most most normal people get tired of the divisions and they don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Zyle Flex is sending a message saying there is no lobby.
He can't find the lobby. I told him to go to room 11. That would also go. But I don't know. Ah, now he's in the lobby.
Okay, let's go over and find him.
You want to go over? Okay. I stay here and wait.
There we go. We're back in the live stream with Faye. Faye-cologist.
Yes. Faye-cologist. Faye-cologist Faye. Is it right?
Faye is turning into one of my favorite people on Faye-cologist.
Same
I'm
here.
Falling, I'm falling for Faye.
Don't become a fan, though. I don't like fans.
No, fans get blown away.
Yes. Okay, no, Faye-cologist. You
Faye
have
is
not
fantastic.
So much time, you said. Is that right? We want to analyze many things. We want to analyze what happened in Setchu Chachikan. Let me see what's the name of that again. Saskatchewan.
Oh, yes. Okay.
But we started with you.
What are you laughing at, Chris?
It's funny. When people always try to pronounce that.
How do you pronounce that, Chris?
Chris, try and pronounce some of the words in Switzerland. Don't forget, you're talking to someone who can speak five languages in Faye. We cannot make fun of her in any way. Faye is so far advanced past us in languages. We have to be respectful of it.
Chris, how do you pronounce it?
Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan. Do you speak Inuit, Chris?
Nope.
Okay.
Chris, you sound like a young guy. How old are you?
22.
Wow.
22. How suspicious. Oh, that's great. you're a young guy. Chris could be my son.
Mine too.
Chris, yeah. He could be our son.
No, I don't think so.
I should stop flirting with you. But I don't want any romance between us. But just business and no monkey business. But okay. Yeah, Chris, you're a young fakeologist and thank you very much for coming on board. It's fantastic to hear young people involved.
Yep.
Thanks for having me on. Thank you. And I had I let another very young fakeologist join named Catch 22 and left a pretty good comment about Instagram and some of the photography, FAUX, on some of the hockey players' Instagrams that I thought was rather insightful. I'm glad I'm attracting young people. How long have you been looking at fakeologists, by the way? I'm sorry, Faye, I just want to get to know Chris a little bit.
I'm writing to Howard.
Well, Howard's coming in?
I don't know. I'm writing to him a message.
Oh,
maybe
good.
He doesn't seem to be online, but maybe he is and just doesn't show up.
Yeah, he could be around. Yeah, get him on here. Hey, go ahead, Chris.
Well, I've been in the quote-unquote conspiracy since I was about, 20, but it's only been this year that I've been into fake stuff through Hoaxbusters.
How did you find Hoaxbusters?
Just looking through blogs and stuff.
Okay. What do you think of all this? I won't even ask about 9/11 because you were pretty much in diapers at the time, but what do you think of all this, discussion? Do you agree with it? Is it crazy?
Yeah.
Is it off the wall?
No. I mean, I thought it was crazy before, but I'm pretty much convinced now.
And you are exactly the mind that we want to influence because you have a whole life ahead of you in this matrix, so I think you might benefit from at least getting an idea of what the heck is going on and how to win friends and overly influence people.
I don't know about that, but it's pretty. I mean, I've tried to talk to some people about other things. They get upset, but I mean, I haven't even tried to do this one because fair to those guys on that radio. I mean, it is hard to fathom why they would try and fake such a thing like this. You know what I mean?
I'm going to verify you now when I get a chance here.
No, you verified me a long time ago.
Are you voice verified?
Yep.
You are voice verified. I can't see right now. You are voice verified. Oh, okay. Congrats. Very good. So did you listen to the Humble and Fred show?
Yes, that's what I was referring to.
And what did you think of their treatment of me? Do you think that was slanderous, their comment?
I mean, yes, but I mean, to some extent, but, you know, if you told that to anyone else pretty much in Canada, they would say the exact same thing. It was slanderous, but I don't think it was on purpose.
Quite deliberate. Well, I think it was deliberate in the sense it was designed to be hurtful, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, that is true, but, I mean, I don't think they're knowingly attacking you, you know what I mean?
I do comprehend, because I no longer stand under people, so I comprehend that. I'm using the French word for...
Like, what I'm saying is they think it's real, that's what I'm saying.
But the only reason I challenge Howard all the time is because he is... at least open to the idea that certain things are happening that behind the scenes and not as they appear.
Yeah.
And I just like to challenge him because he claims to be open-minded, yet he is insulting of those that don't agree with his way of thinking, including religion, by the way. He's actually very insulting to Christians.
He's not very open-minded. No.
And people that believe in higher powers. And the older I get, strangely enough, the more open I am to higher powers. Because nothing else explains anything.
Yes, that is true.
Nothing else could save us also anymore. So is this a technocratic, scientific guy, or what is...
No, he's a comic. He's a stand-up comic.
Ah, he's a sarcastic.
Are you familiar with stand-up comics in Europe or Switzerland?
I think there is some such culture, but I do not follow it really. No, I have no idea, actually.
So stand-up comics literally will go on stage in a bar or a small room or a theater or an arena, and they will tell jokes or they will tell personal stories that resonate with people and make them laugh.
Oh, yeah,
it's a very hard business to be successful in, because humor is like music. It's so personal. It's really hard to make a lot of different people laugh at a lot of different things. But he had a radio show where we often have on morning radio shows, we often have comics entertain people as they drive into work in the morning. That's what he did, and they get paid a lot of money, at least they used to when radio was popular, and that's what he did in his career. He made jokey jokes in between playing records in the morning on a radio station. So that's how he became wealthy.
Somebody has to wake up.
Chris, can you get the phone?
Is that Chris? That's funny.
Chris is on a switchboard.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
But, when he says, for example, 9/11 was an inside job, that he repeated it today in this show, does he mean it as a joke, or does he...
No, I think he believes that, but... He believes insidious forces are at work and murdered 3,000 Americans.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I think that is the official alternate idea about 9/11. You either think the official story is true.
The deep state?
Yeah. The deep state or Bush, Rumsfeld, and Cheney.
Yes.
They all got together and arranged to have 3,000 Americans murdered. That's the official alternate story. Our story is not an option. Go ahead, Chris.
What I think that gave, for me, which made that convincing, is I went on to, what's that Mick West website?
Mick West?
I don't know.
It's Mick West. It's like the skeptic, you know, government skeptic people.
Okay. I don't know that.
I mean, you know, it's the, they had a bunch of stuff, like, debunking 9/11, but I looked for, like, anything Simon Schacht did. It's not even mentioned.
Right. Yeah.
It's nowhere mentioned.
So they don't even try to debunk it.
Promote it. Yeah.
Yep.
It's better to ignore something.
If it's true.
So officially, official alternative, official one. No, official one is Inside Job, Dick Cheney, Ronald Rumsfeld,
George Bush.
Yeah. George Bush.
And,
official two is.
Yes. Official they arranged two is, to murder 3,000 Americans.
It's just like the JFK, too.
Yes.
Yeah, something like that. Was Mossad also then? With JFK? Existed Mossad then? I don't know.
Oh, yes, yes. They think that JFK made some anti-Israeli statements that were...
Yeah.
JFK has at least five to 15 potential attackers. He has a long list. There's a long list of people that were after him, according to the official story.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you could spend your whole life trying to evaluate all of them. You won't get... You'll be spinning around for years.
Yeah.
But let's get back to the Humboldt folks. I'll call Humboldt. It's Humboldt, Saskatchewan. And let me make my position perfectly clear to anyone who's new to fakeology. 9/11 proved that all major media stories are presented as real, but they are all involved some level of fakery, or they are totally fake. In other words, they will take drills, they will go to any extent and any extreme to fake events to move people. Now, do they kill people? No, because killing people is messy. So if you simulate everything, you are breaking no laws officially. You are not... They're careful not to break any of their laws that we all agree upon in our society.
Maybe except fraud.
Well, even fraud is going to be very difficult to prove, because when you donate money under false pretenses, I'm not even sure that is the classic definition of fraud. If you give money in exchange for something and it's not fulfilled, that is fraud. But if I donate money to a cause and I don't quite read the official cause, then it's potentially fraudulent. But if you read the fine print, I guarantee you, of the donation segment of the GoFundMe for these hockey players, I'm pretty sure it can be interpreted that you're just helping out. They could, if you really wanted to get technical, you are helping the families. There is no promise of anything in exchange for your donation, other than you're helping. Now that is, it's such a wide open interpretation of help that I don't think any court would be able to hold them in account for that. So really, there are very few, if any, laws being broken. There's a lot of moral code, but you can't go to jail for being immoral.
Deception is not criminal. I mean, legally it's not criminal.
No, I don't think so. So therefore, I am quite sure that nothing is being broken here except people's spirits and emotional well-being, which should be criminal, but it is not. So that is the premise of all major media stories that we are presented with. They are all fake until proven real. So I do not go the way everyone else goes, where all stories are real until proven fake. For me, it's the inverse. I've made my position perfectly clear, and the premise of that position is that the entire world was fooled with 9/11. And that's why that is the genesis of this blog. It will never change. It is proof that the entire world can be fooled forever and ever to eternity. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's just the way humans are. They will never change. They will never evolve. If anything, they will devolve, as in lose skills over time. They will not improve, and it will not change. Therefore, that is the way I view the world. If you don't like how I view the world, then you shouldn't listen or read anything I have to say. I'm not attacking anyone on this site. I'm not personally trying to hurt anybody, and therefore, I am just providing an inverted point of view to the majority of the population. So When I look at this story, I am looking for truth. I'm looking for any proof that it's a real story. Because I know that I can be fooled like anyone else, even with all my 6 years of fakeology research. I'm looking for reasons why I'm being fooled. And we have a huge list of things that we check out. It's not one thing. I don't have to prove every aspect of this event. I have a checklist a mile long, and Faye has been so gracious with Gaia to put it in Fakeopedia. Our list is huge. We can't explain every aspect of this event. There is no way, because not only do we read Fakeopedia and Fakeologists, but so do the people that create these events. So anything, any shortcoming we point out, well, it's going to be improved upon in the future. You can bet on that. Because the people that create these events are studying the things we find wrong with them. So if they didn't correct them, it would be very surprising. So I can't explain every aspect of this. And I shouldn't have to. I can point out some glaring mistakes that have no explanation by the official story. And then I use the maxim falsus in unum, falsus in omnibus, which in Latin means if one thing's wrong, then the whole thing is probably wrong.
That's the known liar thing, right?
Can you repeat that?
So you can't trust the known liar?
It's
falsus in unum, falsus in omnibus.
Okay.
If a person lies about one thing, you can't trust anything they say.
One wrong, all wrong. Something like one untrue, all untrue.
Yes. And in court, if you're trying to discredit a witness, if you can point out one glaring contradiction in their testimony, then you can pretty much convince the jury to throw everything they say out, even if they're the absolute best witness, even if they were actually a very valuable witness. If they can be discredited on one thing, that principle is used in law to basically convince a group of men and women that they shouldn't listen to anything that is said, any testimony.
Is that the so-called trustworthiness of the witness? Is that the term in English? German,
I would say.
Something like that.
Yes, I would say that. I would say that.
And actually, now I'm thinking about, you mentioned earlier that I should not be obliged somehow to prove that I don't believe or I am not convinced. It is not, I think, only that you should not be obliged, but it is quote-unquote a natural, let's say, law that you believe what convinces you. You don't have to explain why you don't believe a story that is in the media.
Well, I've explained my position, and it's perfectly clear. It will never change. But 9/11 had me fooled for a long time, and I didn't even know I was being fooled, which is the beauty of it. I can't inquire into something if I don't even know that I'm being fooled. But now that I know I was fooled, and I know it was quite successful and enduring, then now this is the reason for my premise. So that is my explanation. So I don't care what story you put in front of me. When it is promoted from the ground all the way to the Buckingham Palace where Elizabeth R. signs off on it, then I know that I know there's a problem because it's heavily promoted.
Did Queen Elizabeth speak out about this?
Queen Elizabeth
on her Royal Web stationery wrote a letter to the people of Canada in both official languages giving her condolences.
Jesus.
I can't remember the last time Elizabeth Regina wrote anything to Canada about an event. I wasn't really looking for it, but this one hit me right away.
Except in Kids in the Hall.
Yeah.
What? Say that again?
Except Kids in the Hall.
Kids in the Hall is a television show, I think.
Yeah, I guess you've never seen it then.
I have.
To Canada. It's kind of funny.
Okay.
What did they do about Canada?
Oh, it's the Queen, and she's talking to Canada.
Yeah. Listen, I was a monarchist for the longest time. I like pomp and circumstance.
What? You were a monarchist? Really?
I was I went to see the Queen when she came to Toronto.
You have to find a new co-host.
That's the joke. Yeah. I bought in all of that, believe me. I just love the stuffiness of the whole thing. And I'm not alone. That was back when I was on the right side of the political spectrum writing my blog on right-wing topics. I like tradition and law and order and all that all that stuff.
It's not the same. Tradition is something good.
I'll tell you. I read the letter from Elizabeth R., and it still kind of made me tingly. I don't know why.
Yes, you wrote it on your blog. Oh, I'm sorry, on the website today. Shall I read it?
Go ahead.
I wonder what the financial position was of the team and its constituents, the arena, the town, two integrated capstone events happen in Canada. Also bizarre and over the top is the fact that HRH, the Queen, and Il Phil weighed in. When's the last time they did that about their colony? Her royalness still gives me chills, no sarcasm. It's psychological, I'm sure.
Yes. It just proves that I'm still a psychologically alive being. I can still be affected by things.
I think it's because of the age when it influenced you. Everyone has similar things with some infos that you just have no power over the first impressions that you get from the world. I mean, from the world. Everyone has such contradictions.
We all only get one chance to make a first impression. And yes. I've been imprinted by royalty since the beginning of time, since I started collecting little silver things with her face on it. that was something else. So you'd think just psychologically, if the Queen signs off on this event, then it must be true, because she wouldn't lie.
And Justin Trudeau.
And
Donald
why would
Trump.
The Queen lie? Yeah, why would Donald Trump lie? Yeah,
and Don Cherry.
Don Cherry, I used to watch for years.
I still respected him up until now.
Well, he's a hockey commentator, Faye. He does what's called color commentary, so he'll give his opinion on the hockey game that's going on. And in Canada, every Saturday night, there used to be a hockey game, mainly a Toronto game. But unfortunately, I had to withdraw from that Canadian tradition when I found out that all major sports were fixed. And then I thought, and then I was in the middle of my research, and then a game came on that I sat down with the family to, and it was clear that we should have won, and then literally everyone started skating backwards, and we lost without any real explanation. And then my explanation was perfect for the occasion, that the game was fixed, and there's no other explanation for what happened. And that was during the Boston unbombing year in 2011
or 2013.
No, it would have been 2013.
No. Yeah, that was 2013, Stanley Cup, wasn't it, when the Boston Bruins got beaten by two bombs at the end of a sporting event.
Yes, hello, Tom from Cambridge, hello. That's the voice of Tom, Tommy D, 27.
Yes, hello, Tom. Hello, Tom.
Ooh.
Fantastic.
Just, nice to
So what did
Fantastic.
You say, Tom, 2012 or 2011?
No, it was 2013.
Tim.
Go ahead.
Do you think the Vegas will win because of Vegas strong?
Do I think Vegas will win?
The Cup, yes, because of the Vegas shooting.
I think it's very possible. I think I was looking at the odds, the Las Vegas odds, of who was going to win the Stanley Cup last year, and I think they were definitely in the top five, I think, but I'm not sure anymore. I don't know what the odds are, rather, right now. But, yeah, it's certainly a possibility.
They finished pretty high in the standings, too, this year.
Oh, yeah, they finished with more points than the Toronto Maple Leafs, which are one of the oldest teams in the history of the NHL, yeah. But, yeah, there's definitely going to be correlation. The Americans basically commercialized and stole our game, and they run the game. And they haven't let us win. They haven't let a Canadian team win in 25 years.
Yes.
So thanks a lot. That was worth it. Anyway. Oh, boy. There's so much to talk about.
Yeah. Is there any connection? I do not follow ice hockey and anything for what has to do with sports, but Switzerland is very big into ice hockey, and Bern even more. And the only other country which I get some time to hear, you know, from looking into newspapers in the train or something, is Canada. Canada and Switzerland is something like, does it have to do with this sport? Because I wrote it also in the comments on the post on fakeologist.com that I happened to read about this event even before it was, not before it was published, I think, but before it went big in America.
Really?
Yes. It was at least...
In what publication was that?
That's the interesting now. It was the website of the public network provider, internet, telecom, etc. It's called Swisscom.
Yeah.
And it happened...
So the story was in your... When did you read the story? Because this officially happened on Friday at 5, the 5 o'clock hour, the 1700 hour.
I think it must have been in the morning.
Yeah.
We were very long.
I think it was. Does anyone know the official time?
No,
I don't know it. I haven't read it.
Well, I think it was 1700 Pacific or Saskatchewan time, and they didn't jump forward because they don't like. Well, they don't play the daylight savings game. So that I mean, it's another funny thing. I don't know what time it is anymore. So their time at 5 would have been our time at maybe
7,
6 or 7 or 8, I don't know. It's so
in the
confusing
morning.
With this. No, yeah. At night.
At night, so, okay. No, the
so
thing
my
is,
opinion, yeah.
The thing is, if I may say that, I don't want to talk too long.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
In my dream, I have a plan. That's the Swedish band ABBA, and hockey is very big in Sweden because it's very cold there.
True. No, actually, it was like that. We were talking very long in the chat that night, and I happened to surf parallel and to see it on Bluewin. And then I thought, oh, maybe it's some bluff or something, because I couldn't find it on CNN. Or I went really to look, and I couldn't find it. It was not published yet in the American
Go to
Times
Google News. Google News does a good job aggregating stories.
Yeah, that's true, Google, you know, News? But it just rose my suspicion that that the events are centrally really
dispersed.
Managed. Yes,
yeah,
and dispersed.
No doubt. Well, I think one of the first, and it doesn't. The timing is really not a good indicator of these things, because the news is centralized, and they could say it's instantly shared around the world, so that doesn't work anymore as a characteristic of these events. But the news starts somewhere, and it usually comes out of the Associated Press or Reuters, and they're owned by the same Rothschild entities, central bankers, and they usually start the stories. So the intelligence feeds these stories to them, and then they're picked up and reprinted by any of the normal outlets, which are becoming increasingly irrelevant anyway. It doesn't matter what the names of these places are, because they don't do any, they don't have their own reporters anyway.
Yeah.
And they all refer to each other and say, as reported in, which basically absolves them from any liability, because they just say, we didn't find out this information. We're just re-reporting what's been reported. As John LeBond says, they don't give the primary source of the story. You never know the primary source half the time.
Mm.
So they're just reporting on each other's reporting. And you'll see that more and more and more. But anyway, the main thing I want to say about the Humble Hoax, which is what I'm going to call it.
Humble Hoax, is, okay.
Well, it was in Humboldt, Saskatchewan. The main thing I wanted to say about that is if you just look at the crash scene as they presented it in the media, it does not look like two vehicles intersected in a T-bone fashion in any way. And I've seen many truck crashes because I have a lot of friends that drive trucks, and they send me all the crashes involving that they see on their cameras. And yes, I've seen a lot of crashes this year because it's been very snowy. And the video, and almost every single person on this planet has a television studio in their hand. So they record the sound, the HD video, and the crashes are sent around the world in a split second on the computer network, on the phone network. So I know what a real crash looks like. This one does not look like a real crash. It does not look like a T-bone. And furthermore, if there were really 29 people on that bus, half of them perishing, that scene would have been a live scene for at least 12 hours. The extrication of bodies, the attending bodies, would have been a very long scene, and that would have been a crime scene for a long time, even to this day.
Yeah, if there was body parts everywhere and stuff like that.
So there's really nothing else to evaluate on this story, because we can't get past the central problem, and that is that the video that they provided us does not indicate a real crash scene. So it almost allows me, anyway, to discard every subsequent story to this story. There's nothing else to look at.
No, there are not even bodies in the photo. Nothing.
Yeah. So that means everything after that is irrelevant. I don't have to look at one more thing.
Well, can I say what tipped me off? Yeah, to me, I don't know what really crashes look like, but what tipped me off was the sloganeering, Humboldt Strong.
Oh, sure, and the graphics are already printed up.
Yes, that too. Yeah, they ran a story on the CBC about how this like little print shop in Saskatchewan was printing all the T-shirts. It's just ridiculous because there's all these, it's like they were using one printer and all these T-shirts are already to go right now.
Okay, well, yeah. You see, there's plausible deniability to that story. In other words, there is a possible excuse for all of that. I can create a graphic on my computer in 5 minutes and send it to a printer and have it printed. I don't have a problem with the instancy, the immediacy of that. I don't have an issue with that. That's totally explainable. But it's also the way they do these events routinely.
And the mass hysteria, too.
Yeah.
Chris, can I ask you, what time does it get dark there?
Right now, 7 o'clock, maybe?
Okay.
No, 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
More like 8 o'clock.
Around... Yeah.
Okay, but then, I mean, these photos, so-called photos, they were taken then the same night of the crash. If it crashed at 5 o'clock, the sun is in the south, right? And pretty low already, so let's say it will be like 7 or 7.30 or so. Then what did they do? In 2.5 hours, they removed all the bodies, and they had a drone camera there already? Does that make sense?
Yes, Saskatchewan is 7:55 p.m. sundown.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is like a 7:15 or 7 o'clock or something, like judging from the shadows.
Mm.
Right.
But it could have been the next day, Gaia.
Yeah, that's the question. But if all those cars are standing there, I mean,
I found the argument of up for prior. Quite convincing that if you have an accident with 20 or 30, how was the number? People
29.
Involved. Yeah, 29.
No, there were 30, and there was one who was miraculously survived without any injuries. There were 14 injured and 15 dead.
Yes, but you know, 29. if you have If you
no, no, 30, because there's one not injured. That's the thing.
The truck driver, okay, too.
Okay, if you have a if you have an accident scene with two trucks and 30 human beings involved, you have a crime scene.
Yes.
And the crime scene takes time to end. So everything has to be rescued, taken, you know, it needs 100 first responders, or how are they called? It needs 20 cars of those first responders. It needs.
And where did they come from? Because this
where
is
did they come from? Where are they?
In the middle of nowhere.
This is rural Saskatchewan. There's very few resources. The nearest major city is Saskatoon. It's an hour and a half away. And Saskatoon is a very small major city. They're not going to have a huge list of available units to assist. And even the firefighters in the rural areas are all volunteers. They don't even probably have a permanent fire department. And they certainly wouldn't have a lot of equipment for major catastrophes. So all of this is part of the problem. And I've driven in that area, not that exact area. One thing I'd like to point out about Saskatchewan is because it's considered what's called the prairies, it's very flat. And if you're approaching an intersection, you can usually see other cars on the other road miles away coming approaching the intersection. It's not like a blind corner. You could, and if you're in a truck and then you're in a big bus, you're higher up, so you can see even farther. The idea that they couldn't see each other or one decided to drive through the stop sign is absolutely insane and ludicrous.
It would be like two camels colliding with each other in an empty desert.
Yes, exactly.
It would have been more convincing if they pulled it off in Quebec or Ontario or something like that.
Well, a blind corner or a rocky slope or...
Yeah, something like that.
A million different ways. Or the truck lost its brakes, the bus lost its brakes. Neither of which are going to happen in a heavily regulated industry. The bus and the truck industry are very heavily regulated. Even more now with computers, they're more regulated than ever. It's very hard to cheat because of computers. So none of those... But you see, if you noticed, that part of the story was instantly supplanted with the emotional personal stories. And that is why I created the very provocative title, as I want to do, called Bring on the Tearjerkers, because
yes,
the emotional stories are what capture women especially. And they lose all their logic, and they forget what they should be looking at. You should be looking at the mechanics of the scene. And if they don't add up, once more, we have falsus and unum, falsum and anonymous, the whole story collapses and should be thrown out.
Yes.
I mean, there is nothing of glass. I mean, if there should be windows, the windshields, everything that should break up, and it should be there. And there's nothing.
And when you T-bone, the vehicles do not land parallel to each other.
No.
There's no physical way that can happen. Go ahead.
Also,
I do not drive, and I have no experience to recognize any cars or something, and trucks even more.
Yes, I can agree.
But, yeah, and I thought you all have more experience with that because you are driving aficionados. These trucks don't look to me as real trucks. They look
no,
as
that's a real
play.
Truck. No, that's a real.
That's a real truck.
No, no, that is a real truck. I can even probably tell you the type of truck that is.
Okay.
I believe it's a Western Star tractor, and I believe they are B-train trailers, which means they're two smaller trailers joined together. It's called a B-train.
Okay.
And everything adds up. And yes, Saskatchewan is big for peat moss. And by the way, peat moss is a cushy type of dirt. It would be like, if you hit it, it would be like driving into a cushion. So there would be some, the only thing solid on that trailer would be the frame of it and the bogies or the axles that hold the wheels. So really, if the bus smashed into the side of that, it's called a flatbed, it would have plowed into a lot of soft material. Besides the frame of the trailer, which would be either steel or aluminum. depending on the design, the make of it.
Are those bags or boxes of
peat moss? Those are bales of peat moss. Large bags of peat moss.
And they all look pretty much... Oh, no, never mind.
Well, they just scattered everywhere.
If that would happen, then the top of the bus would end up on a cushion, and the bottom of the bus would slam into the hard, rigid steel stuff. And how can you ever get a situation where the front of the bus, how much is it? Like 20 meters away from the rest of the bus? Doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
Go ahead, Tom. Tom wants to speak.
Just a small detail, but yeah, there it is again, the ubiquitous CC referencing Charlie's Charters on the side of the bus.
Oh, yeah, I see that's numerology, and you know how bad that is to go into. Yeah, that's
true. It could be Coca-Cola or Costa Coffee or, you know, Cassius Clay or...
Chris Carter.
Well, CC is a liquor, isn't it? Alcohol.
Oh, copycat.
CC's engine, 33 is the speed of the record and all that. Anyway, yeah, it's everywhere, but it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't prove or say anything, but there it's very neatly framed, isn't it? And you just think the whole picture, oh, there it is again.
What's your take on that?
No, I haven't looked at it. I really haven't, but I'm going to assume that if you guys with the strength of opinion are saying that it looks staged, it probably inevitably is. I mean, I come from a school of being fascinated by sports and football, and we have in this country, it's only come to my realisation, and it's still incredible to me, that the Munich air crash, the very famous Manchester United one, which was a team that went down, was probably, it seems, you know, it very neatly contrived. It seems that was a psyop, and it was going on back then in 1958 or whatever.
And what do you think happens to the people? Are they real people? Can anyone come up with an explanation that's inevitably asked? What happens to the people?
Very good question. No,
if they're real, what happens to them?
People would ask that, and I still don't know. But
do they disperse and integrate into society?
Speculation.
Social identity. You slip into society, and you've
probably get a piece of like GoFundMe money.
Yeah, I mean, that's money. Yeah, there's millions to spend, so why not?
Well, it's that thing where you think, well, it would come out, wouldn't it, if there was people walking around, and we'd know. But that's exactly what people who call me a conspiracy theorist think, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Also, the thing is, these guys play junior A hockey, right? So they're not even local. They're not local.
Well, that is true. A lot of them are from around Canada, and that is another thing that most people don't understand. When you are drafted into the higher junior league, you are selected from all Canadians, and I would dare say maybe even Americans.
Mm.
And what happens is you travel to your home city and you're billeted with a local family.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay. And the idea is... The hockey family will put you up because they're hockey enthusiasts, or they're part of the team, or maybe they have a child involved, and their child is exchanged as well. So these boys are not necessarily local at all, and that's how hockey works. It's a very I don't really know it too well because I'm not involved at all. But if you go watch the Don Cherry story, which is our most famous hockey commentator, you can download it somewhere. They do explain a little bit about how junior hockey works. And it's basically a mill, like a puppy mill. They are literally all these people want to make it to the big leagues. So these people are sacrificing everything to go through these programs, these mills, to get noticed and to make the almost impossible leap into professional sports.
$10,000 a year.
They are, it's very expensive. And they are, it's a very expensive venture. It's a money-making venture to some extent. And it's a very big deal.
If I understand it right, this, for example, the aspect that there is a GoFundMe, a funding operation afterwards, that's the less part of such an operation. It is not about money itself. So the reason must be closer to identity production or identity replication. For example, I was thinking one is bought into such a group from another country, I don't know, and he stays in that host family, but he stays under his artist name, for example.
Well, it could go international, yeah. There's international exchanging in hockey, too.
Well, in football, it's for sure. Or at least here it is. I mean, here we have jokes that say anti-racistic paroles that say, why are you a racist? Nobody in your home country's national league is from Switzerland. So
that's true.
That's an international business, I guess. And they have also
Switzerland's another country that rarely grants citizenship to outsiders. Is that right?
It's very difficult, yes. It
has
like
become Dubai. Even if you're born in Dubai, you don't become a citizen. You have no rights.
So I was thinking in that direction that it has to do, they have also maybe artistic names, as artists have, actors, musicians, etc. And it could be maybe a possibility to create personalities, I mean personas or fake individuals.
Yes, maybe. I don't know. You see, I told Howard, who was being very challenging to me directly, I said, I don't have to have all the answers because I don't know. I don't know how they do it. I'd love to know. I always love to know how magicians do their tricks, but I don't know the mechanics. I don't know. I don't think anyone really knows. We can guess at it, but we don't know the mechanics. I don't know how you disappear a sports team.
Yeah, but we can speculate.
Yeah. I don't even know why they do it. I don't have to have the answers. You don't have to have the answers when you question.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'll go one other thing I'll say. Why does everyone want people to be dead? We're the opposite. We're giving a good message. We don't think people die. How can that be the wrong side of the argument?
It is heretic.
How can not wanting people to die be wrong?
It is heretic because it goes against the common belief. Even if it's right, it is heretic.
It's like what Dave J says. Well, you don't have to agree with the guy totally, but that point is true. Death and mourning brings your spirits and your overall mood and health, it brings it down.
Yes. And his very challenging phrase, spiritual murderer, is very harsh, but the more I hear it and evaluate it, the more accurate it seems to be.
Yes.
I think we should necessarily then leap to lauding Dave J as some kind of spiritual godsend, you know. But certainly it's not a bad turn of phrase.
But I don't think Tony A is Tony B. But again, I don't have to accept the whole package. I don't accept anyone's total argumentation. I pick and choose. I'm a cafeteria fakeologist. I just choose a little over here and a little over here.
Get away from buffet.
It's a buffet. You got it.
Oh, Gaia put into the live stream some photos of the guys, the alleged junior.
And nobody has a better buffet than fakeologist. Best best buffet out there.
And is Logan a really common Canadian first name?
Somewhat.
Well, I don't know. You'd have to.
There are three Logans already. Logans. That's quite a lot.
But they look all like Jason Bourne. Somehow.
And do we have Tyler Bieber? Is that family of Justin Bieber?
No, I see only Jason Bourne.
And also what Tim is saying is because Canadians love hockey so much, they're really going to relate to this story. It makes it even stronger.
It's a story
the
for the cheapies. It's a myth creation. It's godlike activity.
Yes,
creating
because
creating history, creating
hockey in terms of popularity. Yep.
Family life and the consciousness of the state of Canada in people's heads.
Yeah, people identify much earlier with this than with some random people run over in Manhattan or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because hockey is similar in popularity to like soccer in England or Spain. That's how popular hockey is in Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they know people are paying attention. That's the main thing. They know people are paying attention because of sport. And I'll say one more thing. I just saw in the media today that this intersection was the host of another big crash a long time ago, maybe 20 years ago. So if it's a real crash, don't you think they might have improved the intersection, even though it's in the middle of nowhere? Maybe put a roundabout or rumble strips or some of the other things you find in rural Canada to alert people to the approaching intersection?
And are Canadians not curious? I didn't see any gaffers, or how are they called? Gawkers.
Gawkers, yeah.
In 1997, there was a family killed. Crashed into a grain truck and burst into flames. Oh, yeah, indeed, because you don't see a grain truck from miles away. Dylan Fiddler was just 6 years old when he lost his mother, aunt, uncle, and three young cousins in the accident. So we have a miracle survivor again.
Sai brought that story, isn't it?
I will link it now.
But is it the same or is it the second
one? I don't know. I just looked up this on the internet.
Ah, you looked it now up. I thought I read it today already.
Yeah, it could be. I cannot follow every link and thing.
You cannot.
No, too many links.
Oh.
This story is.
I was listening for 2 hours on Simon's take on the typos.
Did you listen to it? I couldn't listen to it to the end.
No way. I still have to finish it. But now he made a really crazy remark that there is actually an ice age going on. They look at Antarctica. And Australia, also in the southern hemisphere, because he said, no, there is now an ice age in the southern hemisphere, not in the northern hemisphere. But Australia is pretty damn hot in summer, so I don't know what the ice age means.
The heat ice age. The heat age.
Yeah.
But this story is a big story in Canada, and hopefully Howard might link into the Discord chat. If anyone sees Howard lurk into it,
who's Howard?
To engage him.
I don't know.
Well, I was pilloried on his audio.
Oh, is he from the Fred show? What is the Humble and Fred show or something?
Yes. Oh, okay. And he's interested in the show because he was born in Saskatchewan. Link there for him.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So it was his friend, Fred, who said that you were sick in the head.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Yes. Very slanderous.
Without, I heard that bit and because it's real. I mean, they didn't do any analysis. They just assume it's real. That this.
This is obviously a military intelligence operation, effectively for the country, the best brains on it. And knowing that with your status as Toronto Tim there in Canada.
Yeah.
You would have certainly, I would have thought, had some kind of notion of some attention leading up to this planned event, if it is such. The incident, the recent incident with Dave Day and John Adams and that sort of, what's her name, Carrion, Annette Carrion, that little soap opera there blowing up. Why did that happen? You know, we could perhaps question that perhaps that was something. A little bit of event of potency you perhaps have here with opinion or something.
Well, are you saying that we're flying over the target a little too much over here at fakeologist.com?
No, maybe I don't. Sorry, maybe I'm just fantasy.
No, I thought the same thing. It's a valid fantasy.
Other Canadian hubs of sort of real investigation are there? I don't know.
There are none.
Zero.
I don't know of them. If there are, I don't know any of them.
either way, you're going to get attention when something like this happens in a certain sort of way, aren't you? In Canada, yeah. Or potentially, anyway. Yeah, and you sound like one. Yeah, you wonder if
Are any of them Taylor? Are any of them have any tributes to Fakeologists?
Royalties.
Alan Watts in Canada.
Yeah, but I don't even listen to him, so.
No, it's kind of I said that facetiously.
No, you're right. He's frozen in time in my mind, and he's frozen up north. Yes, the whole intersection, if you'll pardon the pun, due to this crash in Saskatchewan, of the hockey story combining with this, what I thought was an April Fool's joke from John Adams, is very curious in the timing, how they came together. And I'm getting attack from both sides, really, in this case. I'm getting it from...
That had crossed my mind as well.
For sure.
I'm back. I missed something.
Yeah, the humble Howard did not have to bring this up. I did not send him any messaging. He just read my Twitter feed, which is an automatically generated feed from the blog. So he did not have to bring this up at all. As a matter of fact, he hasn't mentioned my blog. He never mentions the proper address either. He hasn't mentioned it in months.
So could he be integrated in that network?
Well, he's in the media, and I'll say this to him. Unfortunately, the media is the target of our animosity, and no one or nothing else. And I know he's going to counter saying, I'm in the media too. Well, not really.
You don't get orders. And you don't get orders. But the question is, does he get orders? Or does he compile his own material?
I'm going to just say that they probably don't get orders. They're too insignificant and inconsequential.
Okay. They just know to toe the line.
Yeah, if they know what's best for them, yeah.
So it's maybe personal. Because you said he's from there, that it was, I don't know.
It's hockey, he's from there. Mm. It's got the attention of the entire world.
Don Cherry says it's real.
Donald Trump. It was in the Washington Post, one of the first media outlets.
Sports are really commonly used, aren't they? Do you reference the Boston Marathon, where people are running? And it's psychologically, I think, it sort of shows people going forward, you know, towards, into explosions and... sort of this big psychological impression. One in Germany the other day at some running event or something.
Yes, there was also an event in Münster with. But they said in the beginning they said it was possibly a terrorist attack, but then they changed the narrative and in the end it was a mentally unstable person, something. I didn't follow it closely.
I mean, the Olympic Games in 1972, and the football crash here in Colombia.
What?
Oh, yes, with Escobar.
Well, since we have a big crowd here, we've got Chris, Gaia, Faye, Tom. I'd like to pose a question to you all. As you know, one of the biggest threads here has been this Annette Carrion story that John Adams brought before us. And I have been thinking about this all day because John sent me a personal message. I won't read the message because it is private. However, I will caution anyone who sends me a private message, an email, that it can be used on my blog. I've told people before, if you don't want me to know something, then don't tell me. So if you're going to send me a private message, I won't reveal... I won't print it or make the details public, but if you are saying something that affects the blog, then I have an obligation. John Adams sent me a private message this morning, just as I was running out the door, saying that I should take the entire thread off the blog because it was personally affecting him, and I won't go into any details because they don't even matter. And I didn't respond. With the other fakeologists, because the thread really belongs to the blog, not to me. I'm just providing an outlet, and many people have put a lot of work into it, so I did not want to do anything without consulting. But my gut reaction is to say to John, if this is a real story, then of course we're very sorry, but I don't think we've said anything insulting or untoward towards anybody. That's never the intention or the feeling that we want to have at Fakeologist. We're not out to damage or hurt people. But that said, I, in balancing the two options, I thought that I would keep the thread because, again, it's the whole raison d'etre of this blog to investigate stories that we're suspicious of and to illustrate to people the difference between real and fake. And so far, we haven't done a very good job of finding real stories.
Yeah, but what makes you think that it is not a real story? I mean, and also, this has affected John personally. And I'm sorry to say, it looks like you drop him like he's nothing. And he is one of your friends, let's say, right? Come
but
on.
He brought it, Gaia.
Gaia, stop it. I hate to tell you guys, but nobody here is my friend, okay? Everyone here is
well,
a
that bothers even more, if you say that.
Well, I'm sorry, Gaia. I'm sorry. You are an associate. I don't know you. I know your work.
Not about me, but about John Adams. I mean, he is your partner in crime for years.
He is not a partner. He is not a partner at all. The only association we have is I've donated money to his blog because I liked his work. We're not partners. So please, get that out of your head. And stop appealing to emotion in this situation. I'm asking for a logical conclusion and a logical evaluation. There are no partnerships here.
Maybe you see it that way, but other people can see it differently.
Yes, of course, everyone sees it differently. But I think the question is not, firstly, the question is not, is it a real story or is it not a real story? The question that is put now is, are we allowed to investigate it or not? And I say, yes, we are allowed. We must investigate it. That's for me the question. And to answer your question, Gaia, from my point of view, it was not as if I went to John's house and asked him, can I see the latest news, personal questions or something. He brought it here, and here I am a psychologist, and I want to question it. I do that with you. You do it with me. I do it with everyone I can. And I don't
there's a difference between questioning something and analyzing a story and publishing a video where you accuse someone of being a liar and a deceiver. You didn't do that. But it's Ab's blog, and he is positive about Dave J, at least in part. Well,
I'm also positive about Dave J. in part.
He's a complete lunatic. He is completely mental, this guy.
I'm sorry, Gaia, but that is not in your power to diagnose, too. You are not a psychiatrist.
Why not? If you are able to analyze stories, then I can analyze people. Why not?
Yeah, go ahead, Tom. Let Tom say something.
You know, except anyone. You know, oh, they're marvellous. Yeah, look, he's debonair, be sort of seduced by a couple of sort of things they say with clarity. And then, but they can still be a wrong one, you know, to an extent. Or you know, not there for the intentions, there for the intentions of deceiving you. Anyway, yes, it's an interesting setup, isn't it? The whole thing.
Yeah, it is interesting. What's your take on it?
Page. I don't know if he was serious or not, but he said his wife is threatening divorce.
Where did you see that?
I mean, I went just on the Hoaxbusters called Discord.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That seems preposterous because they've got, well, I mean, it's not any fault of any site, I mean, or anything. I mean, it just seems a...
But can't you understand that people can get so upset about their friends and saying that it's fake and so?
It makes a lot of, well, no, I wish he just shouldn't look at it. He's no, it doesn't mean John endorses it, does it?
No, but his wife, John doesn't have the control about his wife, but she can interpret those kind of things. I find that pretty serious. if this is happening in your own personal life, if your online work is affecting
you. Gaia, you think the thread should be, I should delete the thread?
I mean, you should do whatever you want to do, but what I think is that at least give John Adams credit for having helped you, and you have helped him, and I think he should stand in much higher regard with you than Dave J.
What
has
that to do with Dave
J? Exactly. There's no competition between the two. They're not even juxtaposed in this situation. I think you're making a false dialectic.
No, because he was the one causing this whole problem.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, because
he caused the problem.
No. It was because of his video online. The people saw that. The friends of this woman.
Maybe 10 people
saw it. Didn't happen. He jumped on that one, didn't he? All of a sudden. Who gave him a tip-off? And then he made a video. I'm not endorsing Dave J for 1 second. He's not someone that's been prolific at this site at all. Not at all. In fact, he's not part of Fakeologist. Tim just documents what's going on. All necessary. He actually logged into Discord or whatever to see any talk about it. I mean, it seems absurd.
No, he's been on before, though.
All sorts of people have been on. But he's not like, you know.
He's not a regular.
At all. Not at all. For years. In the whole amount of years. In fact, to a point, we laughed at one of his videos ages ago when he was having a go at us.
We laugh at a lot of stuff he does, Again, that's not the point.
John's wife isn't aware of that, probably, and thinks, there's a guy on fakeologist.com who is calling my husband a liar and me a liar and so on. What I would say, Ab, is send her or send John a message, an email or whatever, explaining, no, this Dave J character is not any authority here, and I'm sorry that I caused this situation by having him here so prominently, because that is there. I mean, you interviewed him and an audio chat and a whole thread, but it's not personal to you, and I don't want this to happen to you and your family and so on. And that's what I would do.
If we had to bow down to all the requests to remove material for personal reasons, including all the characters that have been put in the media before us, the Posners, the Gene, Sandy Hook guy, all those guys, you know how many times they petitioned to get things taken down for personal reasons?
But is David Hawk or Robbie Parker, is that John Adams? No.
We don't know John Adams, do we? We don't know him other than his persona, I'm sorry to say. You don't know him. We like what he has to say. We agree with a lot of what he has to say, but we don't know him. We don't know anything about him.
No, I have a completely different view of the people here, but this is your view.
I don't know you. I don't know if you're really in Colombia. I don't know Faye. I like both of your work. But I don't even want to know your personal situation.
You ask for a bumper, right? And you
that's
want
true.
To know where you're from.
That didn't ask for your inside leg measurement, did it? It just said hi. You're listening to me.
Where are you from, or where do you pretend to be from? You can insert either.
Sorry, we cleared that one up then.
Not at all.
I think it's a funny, because I think we're in a world of disinformation. This is the nature of the world we're in.
Yes.
We're really in it, Tim, aren't we? I mean, it's like a hub here of this stuff. It's a funny old game, Gaia, isn't it?
It's a spooky game.
Well, if my wife would say, I'm thinking about divorcing you because of what you do on fakeologist.com, I would take it very seriously.
And what would you do?
What I would do. I explained it.
Would you leave fakeologist if your wife...
Probably, yes. And I would ask you to send an email or something to clear it out with my wife.
Get off Facebook if you're talking to them girls. I don't want you on that Facebook, John. John.
Oh, come on, typo, bro. Do me Alex Jones impression one time again. Come on.
It sounded more like typo, Tom.
Get off that site now while we divorce.
This is childish.
But even if you think it's childish, for someone else it may not be childish. And I really cannot understand that someone can be so cold-hearted and not think about other people, especially knowing that we are in fakeology and we try to understand real emotion from fake emotions.
Gaia, you talk about emotions? Okay, then I talk also about emotions. John became quite aggressive. That was a real emotion, and I felt it. And in this point, Dave, I am sorry, was right. And when John left the Discord channel of ecologists, he didn't leave in a good mood, or what is it called, mood, and said, in a good way, and said, oh, please take it down because I did a mistake. He left, and actually his message was, fuck off. Say it in French.
Yeah.
And I accept that really as a logic, I accept it. If John has really troubles because of what he posted and what has, produced a whole investigation in the community, that he could kindly ask that his staff could please be treated under special conditions or something. He can do that. He can talk, he can think, and he's quite intelligent. So why doesn't he do that? But he goes to other people and asks them, please put pressure and, that's not okay. These are the emotions. The aggression of John and the aggression of Knots of Freemason, for example, and maybe also your subtle, in fact, aggression that you do, what is the name? Just a minute. Blackmail. That's called blackmail.
Emotional
blackmail. You say, if you don't take it down, you are heartless, you are bad, you are not okay.
That is not what I said.
That is exactly what you said.
No, I said contact his wife or John John or whatever. But I want to ask a question to Ab. Let's say Dave J makes a video about the case of your friend dying in a car crash. Would you ban him?
Yeah, maybe tomorrow Dave makes a video with some porno star and he calls her Faye and he says...
Faye, I am asking a question to ask.
I am not going to do anything. I will accept that this person...
I'm asking a question to Ab. It is his blog, his everything. So
We talk all together.
I'm asking a question.
Yes, okay.
Would you ban Dave J if he would make such a video about your friend and that you are a liar and all that?
Well, if he called me a liar directly, I probably wouldn't host him on my blog if he insulted me. If my friend was a public figure in the media, and as far as I can see, he's fair game. He's in the media deliberately.
Well, I mean, but just by the nature of it, John has very much distanced himself from what Dave J's output, in the sense that Dave J was very aggressive and right from the start with him. So I thought, you're a liar and a spiritual murderer. I mean, it was like,
He said the same about Gaia, and it was no problem for nobody.
He has said that. That is his modus operandi. He has said that to almost everyone. And he's probably shooting live ammunition in some ways, in the sense that he's probably hitting too many targets by saying that. But that is just the position he's come to, and he's been doing this longer than all of us, by his admission.
But
so, yeah,
I cannot call him mentally ill because of that. I mean, come on, man. Jesus.
You called John Le Bon mentally ill, Gaia.
No, I asked the question if he is a psychopath, and I gave arguments for
that. No, you said he is a psychopath.
No, I asked
you
the question.
You said it in the live stream. It is recorded,
Gaia. Is he a psychopath?
In the forum, you asked the question, but in the live stream, you made a statement.
The fuck does the word psychopath mean?
I don't know.
The characteristics are outlined in the forum post, so that's why. It's not based on nothing. It's not an accusation like Dave J is throwing at John Adams.
Define.
I don't see any difference, sorry.
Yeah, well, then we're done here, I think.
He's gone. He's upset. Down here, I think, and off he went. Who would you think it was? What you said, Faye, or do you think it was what I said?
I think that the question that is raised, that was raised by Gaia, was to ban Dave J. And with the same criterion that he wants Dave J. to be banned, he himself should be banned 3 weeks ago, because he did exactly the same to another person, from my understanding. And if we have to raise this question, we have to raise it for all, and from the beginning.
There would be mass.
Like
there would be mass banning. Anyway, I have to step out for a while, but I should be back later. But thank you all for the nice chat.
It could be that I'm not here anymore, so I say good night for tonight. Maybe Tom is here, or we can continue tomorrow, maybe.
Yes, we'll definitely pick it up tomorrow on the audio chat.
Yes, I'm sorry, but it's late here.
All right. Good night, all.
Good night.
We'll reattend this.
Yes.
Take care. Big love.
All the best, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye. Tom, would you like to continue for a little while, or would you like to that we end it here? Because in my time zone, it's almost one. I have to stay up in the morning.
Nice. Well, I could
take
it.
You have 1 hour more than me.
I have a postman's job at the moment.
A postman? So you wake up early?
Factor? Yes.
Okay. What is your thought about that?
Great job. I love it. Love it, actually. But I have a newfound respect for the postman. And I realize how much they can walk.
In the time of mass media, the organic postman is important.
Fantastic. It's such a great job, you know. The time flies by, but you can walk walk 14 miles a day. Yeah, it takes some getting used to. It's physically demanding, you know. It's a great job in its purity, in a sense, you know, taking the mail to people by foot.
Yeah. Okay.
That's nothing to do with fakeology.
But it's a good end for our discussion. I'm hopeful for tomorrow. You do your 30 miles or what it was, and I have to stay up in 5 hours from now. So good night, Tom.
Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Errol C., and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio.